one hand, one voice. The Arab voice is heard with Yahela Voice. Now you are listening to Talk of the Town. Talk of the Town with Ray Hanania. Talk of the Town brought to you by Life Run Medical Alert Systems.
And good afternoon. I'm Ray Hanania, and this is Talk of the Town Radio, the alternative voice of the biased anti-Arab mainstream American news media. It's Friday, May 6th, 2015. You can join our discussion today by calling 708-321-1313, extension 1. We want to hear your opinions. That's 708-321-1313, extension 1. Our producer is Khalid Khilfa, and he'll get you on the air with us. Talk of the Town is brought to you by Life Run Medical Alert Systems, the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need available today. Call 1-800-421-3366. We're broadcast live every Friday at 4 p.m. Chicago time on 1450 AM radio and online at yahalavoice.com. And we're rebroadcast online on Mondays at 11 a.m. You can download our podcast from iTunes or from our news website at thearabdailynews.com. Don't forget to download our app for the Arab Daily News for Apple and Android devices. This week we talk about the reaction to Netanyahu's speech to the U.S. joint meeting. They didn't call it a session because it wasn't official. Joint meeting of the U.S. Congress, the House and the Senate. And we'll also talk about Israel's upcoming elections and the attacks against one candidate, Arab-Israeli candidate, Hanin Zubi. And we'll also talk about Iran. Is Iran a threat to the Arab world? I know the Israelis really hate Iran, and they're doing everything that they can to make Iran the issue. And I think it's a little hypocritical, although I worry about Iran too. I just don't trust the Iranian government. And we'll also talk about the challenge of Jesus Chuy Garcia against Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel. The Arab community has reached out to Emanuel numerous times, but he chooses to ignore us. Shame on Mayor Emanuel. Garcia, on the other hand, has promised to restore the Arab Advisory Commission and the Arabesque Festival, the two things that Emanuel immediately abolished. His very first acts in office when he was elected and took office in 2011, and Garcia said he'll invite American Arabs to participate in his government. Why do we have to have an election to force somebody to do that? I think, Khalid, we're going to have Ali give us a buzz. I don't know if he's on the line yet, but he'll be calling in a little bit. Here's some stuff about, I don't know, did you listen to Netanyahu's politically motivated speech that he gave to the almost full, you know, I mean, it was full. They packed that house. The chambers were packed with people, mostly right-wing Republicans. Some Democrats went there. This is what one senator said, senator and foreign chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He was the chairman until the Republicans took over. Senator Robert Menendez, who's from the U.S. senator from New Jersey, he said, as long as I have an ounce of fight left in me, as long as I have a vote and say and a chance to protect the interests of Israel, the region, and the national security interests of the United States, Iran will never have a pathway to a weapon. It will never threaten Israel or its neighbors, and it will never be in a position to start a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. Not on my watch. That was Senator Menendez immediately after Netanyahu's speech a couple days ago on March 3rd. And this is the news report that came out this morning on Senator Robert Menendez. What goes around comes around, you lousy Senator Menendez. He may soon face federal corruption charges over his efforts to promote the business interests of a donor in exchange for gifts. A person familiar with the investigation told Bloomberg Business. That's what they're reporting on their website. The U.S. Justice Department will probably seek charges in the next few weeks, according to that source. Prosecutors are examining the relationship between Menendez and his friends and campaign donor Solomon Melgen. Florida ophthalmologist. Investigators are also probing the senator's actions for the eye doctor in a billing dispute with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and in Melgen's effort to offer port security services to the Dominican Republic. Oh, my gosh. But I'll tell you what, maybe we won't have Menendez to kick around anymore pretty soon, and if we're lucky, it'll be sooner rather than later. How many of you watched Netanyahu's speech? Did anybody spend any time listening to it? It was really annoying. President Obama just kind of basically blew him off and by saying, on the core, this is from President Obama in response. He didn't go, of course. He wasn't even invited to this speech. You know, they treat Benjamin Netanyahu like he's the president of the United States. I mean, isn't that pretty much suiting, you know, what Israel's lobby and Israel's government does? They treat the United States like we work for them. They take our tax dollars. And again, I always have to say this, and I'm not attacking Israelis as people, but I am attacking the Israeli government, which I don't like. And I know a lot of Israelis, rather than addressing the issues that we talk about, tend to try and make it a personal thing. Oh, you're anti-Semitic, or you don't like Jews, or you don't like Israelis. That's not true. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do with facts. It has to do with principle. It has to do with ethics. Prime Minister Netanyahu, in my view, is a war criminal, and in the view of so many other people, what he did in the Gaza Strip, massacring thousands of Palestinian civilians, including 500 teenagers and children. You know, I mean, I can't get over the fact that he so easily killed those kids. I mean, dozens of them were infants. And their excuse, because it really is an excuse, was, well, the Hamas fighters were using the 2,200 civilians, you know, as human shields. How does one... You know, Hamas fighter used 20 civilians as a human shield, unless the Israelis don't care. Are you telling me the Israelis can't get that Hamas guy? They have to blow up the whole school, or they got to blow up the whole apartment building to get the guy? You know, the issue at hand is the Israeli government of Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't care. He doesn't care. And he knows he has the United States wrapped around his little finger. He can do whatever he wants. It's amazing that so many Americans were cheering Netanyahu, a foreign head of state, instead of standing up for the office of the president of the United States. I don't know, because maybe Barack Obama is a black man. Khalid, did you know that Obama was black? Because that could be a reason why they don't like him. Those right-wing fanatics. I don't know. So President Barack Obama responded to Netanyahu's ridiculous claim that we're not doing enough, that we don't care, that negotiations to prevent Iran from getting the bomb. Netanyahu asserts Iran will get the bomb because we're trying to negotiate them away from building a bomb. Obama says, on the core issue of how do we prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon, which would make it far more dangerous, meaning Iran, and would give Iran scope for even greater action in the region, the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, didn't offer any viable alternatives. That was right after his speech. So here's Netanyahu yelling and screaming, and, you know, he invokes the Holocaust. He invokes the threats against Jewish people, the attacks against Jews. He brought up everything that's been done against Jewish people around the world and pretty much basically said it was all Iran's fault. He ignores what he did in the Gaza Strip. He ignored what his government did in killing civilians. He ignores what his government has done to prevent peace. They've expanded Israeli settlements. They continue to steal land, not just from Muslims, from Christians too. And you know, it's not like Christians and Muslims are different. They're not. We're all the same. But to the American who is a Christian, don't you think that's shameful to Christian Americans that they don't have the courage to stand up and defend their own people? I admire the Muslim community. They stand up and they defend each other. The Jewish community does it. You do something to a Jewish person, the Jewish community stands up and denounces it, but not the Christian community. The Christian community is so weak, so maybe self-hating. You know, they don't like themselves. They've turned the cheek so many times, they don't know what it's like to stand up and defend your rights. So they'll let anybody do anything to their people. So that's why so many American Christians sit back and allow Israel to destroy Christian rights in the Holy Land. We're disappearing from the Middle East. In a large part, we're disappearing from the Holy Land, which is controlled by Israel. It's not controlled by Muslims. It's not controlled by the Muslim world. It's controlled by Israel, the Holy Land. That's where we're disappearing from, where we were born, where Christians come from. We're not there anymore. And it has a lot to do with what Israel is doing. And instead of standing up to Israel, American Christians, I don't know, again, maybe it's self-hate, maybe it's lack of education. Maybe they went to the public schools and got educated there in Chicago. I don't know. But they won't even stand up. They won't defend their own people. The Pope stood up and defended the people. And he took a beating for it from the Israelis. But mainstream American Christians, they won't stand up. They won't defend their own people. They just let the Christians get beat, get oppressed, have their land stolen. And honestly, it's not like it's just the Christians. It's Christians and Muslims. There are more Muslims in Palestine, in occupied Palestine than there are Christians. And most of the offenses and the violations of civil rights are against Palestinians who happen to be Muslim. But in this country, which is a predominantly Christian country, you would think that at least, if they're afraid of Israel, if they're afraid to stand up to Netanyahu, if they're afraid to do the right thing, they'd at least protest the way Israel is abusing Christians in the Holy Land. We have a writer at the Arab Daily News, Maria Khoury, who has written about the threats, the attacks against Christian holy sites, against Christian activists by Israeli fanatics. That nobody's doing anything about it. That nobody cares. I mean, I love when Christians say, oh, geez, you know, Christians are disappearing from the Middle East. Yeah, and the largest disappearance is occurring in the Holy Land that Israel controls. And you won't do anything about that, but, you know, you want to condemn Saudi Arabia. Yeah, that's easy. Yeah, okay. Well, Saudi Arabia isn't just discriminating against Christians. They're discriminating against women. They're discriminating against secular, you know, Muslims. They're discriminating against, you know, Jews, everybody. That's their problem. But Israel is discriminating specifically against Arabs, just one group of people. Not everybody. Israelis, if you're Jewish, you have more rights in Israel than any Arab. Just ask Hanin Zubi. They tried to kick her off the ballot. She's a member of the Israeli Knesset, working from the inside. And they tried to kick her off. They denied her the right to run for re-election. And it took the Israeli Supreme Court to say that's ridiculous. You know, that law from the Central Election Commission of Israel that said that she didn't qualify, they reversed that. They threw that out. So she made it. And then when that wasn't enough, she was attacked by fanatics, and one of her party spokespeople was beat over the head. You didn't see a lot of news about that. You had to go to Al Manar, their website in Lebanon, to read the story of how Hanin Zubi was attacked, a Palestinian woman trying to stand up for the rights of Arabs in a discriminatory Israel, working in the system of Israel, running for political office, and God bless her. I hope she wins, and I think she is going to win. All the Arab parties have united under one band, the Joint Arab List, and partly because Israel tried to shut them out by passing that law that said that you had to get a certain percentage, almost 50% more of what was required in the past, hoping that the small parties, like the Arab parties, they just, not only do they not want to, they want to shut the Arabs up, they want to eliminate us. They want to make us disappear. It wasn't enough that we're such a minority and we don't have a role. They literally wanted to prevent us from becoming members of the Knesset. Anyway, it is 26 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a quick break here at Talk of the Town Radio. Our number is 708-321-1313, extension 1. 708-321-1313, extension 1. Call in. You don't have to agree with me. I'd love to hear your opinion, your voice. We won't embarrass anybody. Even if you're ethically and morally wrong, we'll allow you to express your opinion. So you can call in. You'll always be treated with respect on the show. Even Mayor Rahm Emanuel, if he had the cojones to call up, if he had the guts, if he were a good leader, he'd call up and join our radio show and defend himself and talk about it and explain why he doesn't like Arabs either. What's his problem? Boy, I don't know. All right, we're going to take a break here at 1450 AM, Yahala Voice Radio, Talk of the Town. I'm Ray Hanania. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Yahala Voice, connecting the Arab voice globally.
Home Life Furniture, آخر صيحات الأثاث وكل ما تحتاج من مفروشات. Home Life Furniture, الأمانة, الأخوة, والدقة في المواعيد.
No credit needed to finance. Everyone is approved at Home Life Furniture, 13449 South Cicero Avenue in Crestwood, Illinois, 708-631-3627. Mention Yahala Voice and your delivery is free. Get $200 off when you spend $1,500.
Do you have a medical alert device? When you press the button for help, can you talk through your pendant? With many companies, you still have to talk through the base unit, and that's not much help in an emergency. The answer, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems. Simply press the button and talk to a live operator right through the pendant. If your device can't do that, upgrade to LifeRun today. The system is free, the shipping is free, and the monitoring fee is less than a dollar a day. Call LifeRun now at 1-800-421-3366 or order online at LifeRun.com.
Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge's 72-hour sale starts now. $30 million in inventory, $5 million in discounts, and $25 million to lend will be available for this public sale at Mancari's Chrysler Jeep Dodge at Oak Lawn. Now through Monday, get $12,000 off MSRP. Get 0% for 72 months, plus a $4,500 rebate. 800 factory cars are on display. Brand new Jeep Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, minivans, Ram trucks, and more. $5 million in discounts will be made available on Mancari's $30 million of new car inventory. Stop what you're doing right now and get to Mancari's at Oak Lawn. $12,000 off MSRP. 0% for 72 months, plus $4,500 in rebates. $30 million in inventory. And bank reps on site with $25 million to lend. You will drive today. Hurry. This public sale will absolutely end Monday. Sale hours extended till midnight at Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge on 95th Street, Oak Lawn.
On select models, $1,389 per thousand with zero down, with approved credit plus tax, title, license, and doc.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Rush, here to tell you about the best talk show on the planet. It's called Rise Up. If you're looking for a show that talks about all the issues that matter to you, then you need to listen to Rise Up. From the latest stories happening back home in Palestine, the Middle East, and of course, all the stories happening in our own backyard in Chicago, and of course, across the nation. That is what Rise Up is all about. Plus, Rise Up is a program that wants to hear from you. Call the show, 708-321-1313, extension 1. Oh, by the way, I also do this show with this guy named Bob. We call him the Great American. The guy thinks he's an expert when it comes to Arab-related news. Actually, he's not so bad. So listen to Rise Up every Wednesday, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Central Time on Chicago's 1450 AM and YahalaVoice.com.
Yahala Voice, the voice of Arab in America.
And welcome back to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania. Our number is 708-321-1313, extension 1, if you want to join us and talk to us about any of these issues that we're talking about. They run from Mayor Rahm Emanuel and his fight with Chuy Garcia. I don't know. It looks like Chuy Garcia is really building momentum. There's talk that Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, who many rumored might have been a candidate for mayor, and now when you think back on it, if Preckwinkle had run for mayor of Chicago, she probably would have beat Rahm Emanuel, who only got 45% of the vote. Even with all those candidates, she would have gotten a lot of support. Chuy was not the strongest candidate, but he did pretty good. He did almost 35%. And he was the highest vote getter of all the challengers, including Alderman Bob Fioretti, who I thought, you know, was probably the strongest person able to defeat Rahm Emanuel. As it turned out, he didn't have the backing and he didn't have enough support. Willie Wilson, you got to wonder about this guy. Now, he's the big McDonald's franchise millionaire, African-American, got, I think, 10% of the vote. A lot of people voted for him. He said that he was going to endorse Rahm Emanuel, but vote for Jesus Garcia. And I'm going, I want to do a double take. What? What kind of double talk is that? He was a terrible candidate, and, you know, he shouldn't have been in the race. You know, Garcia might have won if he hadn't been in the race. Although there is a big question about where the African-American vote is going to go in the special election on April 7th. Will they vote for Garcia? Because there is that historic, and we talked about it last week with Monroe Anderson, my former City Hall colleague, who now writes for the Chicago Defender. He writes a column for a great newspaper. You know, that a lot of blacks and Hispanics have a rivalry and, you know, for power in the city of Chicago and in Cook County. So a lot of blacks might not necessarily support Garcia, although Garcia can point out very forcefully and correctly that when Harold Washington ran for mayor, Garcia didn't hesitate. As his Garcia stood up and defended Harold Washington and supported Harold Washington's run for mayor against Rich Daley and Jane Byrne. And with two white candidates taking 60% of the votes and splitting it, Harold Washington won with 30% of the vote. Now, they didn't have that open primary back then. He won the primary. Had they had an open primary like the one we just had between Garcia, Fioretti, Wilson, and Rahm Emanuel, Jane Byrne and Harold Washington would have run off in a special election, and Jane Byrne would have become the mayor of Chicago. But because we didn't have that open primary when Harold Washington won, Harold Washington became the mayor with less than 40% of the vote. I think he had something like 34% of the vote in the election in February of 1983. And it's kind of interesting. It's, you know, interesting to see how a change in policy. Now, in this election, if we had gone with the primary, Rahm Emanuel would be the Democratic candidate running against the Republican winner of the primary, and he would have been guaranteed re-election in April. But now because we have an open primary, everybody, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, we all run together in one election, and the winner must take 50% of the vote, or if no one gets 50%, then the two top winners, in this case, Jesus Garcia and Rahm Emanuel, run for office. But it's an interesting thing to note the way that change, that one little change, allowed, Jesus Garcia to get his chance to do what Harold Washington did in a different way. And it's very likely, I mean, Preckwinkle is no, you know, small person. She's very influential. I just saw her the other day, a couple weeks ago, at a reception for one of the Cook County commissioners out in Orland Park, or I think it was Evergreen Park. Anyway, she may endorse Garcia, and that would be a big endorsement. She's one of the, and, you know, because she would probably be the strongest African-American leader endorsing Garcia if, in fact, she does that. I think Rahm Emanuel is boasting the endorsement of Jesse White and a couple other congressmen. African-American congressman. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, and it's going to be, in my opinion, the black vote that will probably make that decision. If they decide to go with Garcia, he is going to defeat Rahm Emanuel in one of the most stunning upsets in Chicago history since 1979 when Jane Byrne beat former Mayor Michael Blandick. It was an interesting race, and I was fortunate to be there on the front lines covering it for my newspaper at the time, the Daily South Town. Our number here is 708-321-1313, extension 1. You can call in and talk to us about some of the things. Did you listen to Netanyahu's speech? Were you moved? Or was he just playing politics? You know, was he just kind of, you know, posturing, you know, in terms of the election coming up? There's an Israeli election coming up, I think, in the next 10 days, March 17th. That'll be the 20th Knesset. There, and all the Arab parties, the big ones, have all come together to form one list. You know, because Israel doesn't have a democracy the way we do. They like to say they're a democracy, but they're more of a parliamentary system. They're not really a democracy. They're kind of a little bit of the United States, a little bit of Great Britain, and a little bit of their own, you know, Zionism is a way to kind of promote one religious group over everybody else. So you mix those three things together and you get Israel's election system. Some good, some bad, some ethical, some unethical. But that's the way they do it. And there are Arabs that have fought to work in the system who live in Israel. And despite the discrimination that they face from Israel, the government of Israel and Israeli society, they continue to run. And Hanin Zubi, who I met a couple years ago and interviewed when she came to Chicago, she was really a very good person and powerful. She's a very strong critic of Israel. And because she's a critic of Israel, they want to shut her up. Because the one thing about the Israelis, they hate criticism. They do hate criticism. You know, it also, I think, that I don't remember if I got a chance to mention this on our last radio show last week, but maybe that's because this happened. I can't remember whether it was that same day or later that day, but Nadia Hillu, the first Palestinian woman to serve in the Israeli Knesset, who I met back in 2008, she came to Chicago. She died. She died last week. She came to Chicago. We did a fundraiser to help her. I know several fanatic, extremist, nut job members of the Palestinian community in Chicago were upset that we raised money to help Nadia Hillu. She's a Palestinian running in the Knesset. They didn't like her, partly because, in all honesty, she was Christian. You know, Hanin Zubi is Muslim. And the fanatics, and not the majority of Palestinians in Chicago, but some fanatics, they don't like Jews, they don't like Christians, and they don't like secular Muslims. They're just nuts. And they were upset that we held a fundraiser for Nadia Hillu here in Chicago back in 2008 in Oak Park. We had some Christian comedians join me, Maria Shahada and Nasri Malik. And we did a stand-up comedy show that night and raised her, I don't know, I think about $5,000 for her candidacy. We wanted to raise more, but a lot of people wouldn't support her because she was, you know, let's be honest, she was a Christian Palestinian. And Christians do have a hard time getting support sometimes. Not from everybody, but I don't know, there's just not the same enthusiasm level as there is for other people. But unfortunately, Nadia Hillu, the first woman, Palestinian woman, to serve in the Israeli Knesset, died last week, and we're just sorry to hear that. She was a strong voice. She fought for the rights of children, Muslim and Christian and Jewish, in Israel. She fought for the rights of women, to give women a voice in Israel. You know, because the Israelis have their own issues, not just with Arabs, Muslims and Christians, but with women, too. They discriminate against women. It isn't just Saudi Arabia that discriminates against women, although, you know, when you don't let a woman drive a car, that's going to an extreme. But, you know, what's the difference between not letting a woman drive a car and not letting a woman, you know, run a business? You gotta wonder. I mean, you know, there are women in Israel who are Jewish who can't get work because they're not allowed to work. So there are a lot of restrictions on women, and it isn't a Jewish or Arab or Muslim issue. It's a woman's issue, and we should stand up for all women. Doesn't matter. And don't play politics with it. Don't single out Saudi Arabia and complain about Saudi Arabia and not say anything about Israel or any of the other Arab countries where women are discriminated against. We need to stand up for all women, regardless of their religion, and regardless of what country they stand in. And we should pay tribute to people like Nadia Hill, who remember her for breaking barriers and breaking that glass ceiling to break into and bring the voice of Palestinian and women to the Knesset, the floor of the Knesset, when she served in the Labor Party in 2006 to 2009. She was there 4 years. 708-321-1313 extension 1 is our number if you want to call in. You know, just before I came to the radio show, I go to Fattoush every Friday. The great restaurant. Sorry, Kyle. No, I'm just joking. Oh, wait, I don't want to say that. Take that back. Let's erase that. I went there. I used to go there every Friday, and now I couldn't even get there. It's so crowded. It was unbelievable. I ended up going to Bawadi. And honestly, Bawadi isn't as good as it used to be. I like Bawadi. But the food, I don't know. There's something missing. And it really makes me feel bad because I've been pushing those restaurants for a long time. But I am going to try that new one, Al Jazeera, which I hear is a Yemeni restaurant. One of my friends told me about it. So I'm going to check that out this week, right on Harlem Avenue near 90th and 90th Street, I think, right over there. That's at 84th, right around there? 91st Street? Well, I was close. This is horseshoes, right? So close counts. No, 91st Street. Try Al Jazeera restaurant. It's great, from what I hear from a lot of people. So I may go out there and give it a try, because Yemeni food is really good. I really love that stuff. We'll see what happens. 708-321-1313, extension 1 is the number that you can call if you want to share your opinion on, you know, what did you think of Netanyahu's speech? 43 minutes of blah, 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 saying the same old stuff. 43 minutes and 43 times or 44 times he was interrupted by the right-wing Congress. You know, and they did that just to insult President Obama. You know, this had nothing, and it's insult, when you insult Obama, you insult the presidency of the United States, the office of the president, and you insult America. Why are these American elected officials allowed to insult America just to pay homage to this crazy foreign leader who happens to be the prime minister of Israel? And I'm not saying we should be against Israel, but I'm saying that Netanyahu is a lousy leader for Israel. He's done everything he can to destroy the peace process. Now, there's some people who say that doesn't matter. A good Israeli, a bad Israeli, they're all the same. They oppose Palestinian rights, and that's possible. We could debate it. Let's go to the phone lines at 708-321-1313. Tell us your name, caller.
Hello, Ray. This is Musab Hamdan. How are you doing?
Hey, Musab. How are you?
Very good. I just wanted to participate
Thank you.
With you today and discuss with you the issue with Iran, and it seems like...
Yeah, what do you think Israeli, of... First of all, what do you think of Iran?
Personally, I don't think Iran is a threat to the region because they are originated in that region for a long, long time.
Right.
The issue started with Iran... if you remember, in 1979, after the Islamic Revolution.
Right.
And that changed the whole paradigm of the country from being, cross my fingers,
right.
Followed by the American and the Western country, and it was ruled by the Shah.
Yeah, and we should remind listeners, right, that, you know, Iran was one of the first countries in that region to have a democracy. They elected a government, and then they had a prime minister, and the CIA toppled the prime minister, Mossadegh. And then they put in, right, the Shah of Iran, and the Shah of Iran, I don't know if you agree, but he was pretty brutal. The Savak killed hundreds of thousands. And he was funded and backed by the United States and the West. So we beat up and massacred through the Shah of Iran hundreds of thousands of Iranians, and we wonder why in 1979 they got mad at us. We act like we didn't do anything, and we're shocked. Like, why do the Iranians hate us? Well, you massacred 100,000 of their people or more. You destroyed their democracy, right?
That's true. The other thing I wanted to mention to you is, like, Iran has been a Shi'i Muslim country for over 635 years.
Right.
But the reason they start mentioning that in the media and focusing on Iran being Shi'i, it's against Sunni, it's just to gain
They want to divide the Arab community, right, between the majority Sunni and Arabs versus the minority Shia.
That's true.
Yeah.
And weaken those countries that surround Israel. All this happened, I mean, it's always just to serve the will of Israel. And
I think you're right. Let me ask you this question. What's wrong with Iran saying, okay, we don't want to build nuclear weapons, we'll agree? Because it sounds like Obama is going to get Iran to agree not to build nuclear weapons, but I don't think Israel cares. I know Jews and Israelis, they hate Iran. They hate them. And they're driving this country they want the U.S. to destroy Iran. That's what I think. And when I try to talk to Jews and Israelis about it, they get upset. But what would be wrong with Iran saying, okay, we won't build a nuclear weapon, but we do need nuclear energy to power our cities. It's a form of electricity, isn't it?
That's true. I mean, this is what Iran has been saying for the last 20 years. We are building a peaceful nuclear plant for commercial purposes, not to obtain a nuclear weapon. But the problem is, like, if you go back to the Iraqi-Irani war in 1980, after the war started, Israel bombed the Iraqi nuclear,
they were trying to build their nuclear plant, and we bombed it, right, where it wasn't even close to being a nuclear site, but it's where they were testing and doing their scientific research. Israel destroyed it.
And, you know, the whole purpose of the war between Iraq and Iran, it was just to destroy both countries and get rid of both countries. But when Saddam woke up on 1990 and decided to, and he figured out all what he did is just
help the U.S.
demolishing his country. Exactly. He went against those countries that conspired against him. If you remember, he fired maybe 40 missiles against Israel, and the same number of missiles he fired against Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So.
And nobody cared. Nobody cared when Iraq fired missiles at the Saudis. Nobody said anything. The headline was, oh my God, Iraq has attacked Israel. Do you remember? I remember that moment. I was in the newsroom at the Chicago Sun-Times. They were all going, everybody was running around going, oh my God, Iraq fired a missile at Israel. I said, are you kidding me? Israel's been firing missiles at Iraq for years, and nobody said anything. All they cared about was Israel.
In 1980, they bombed Iraq. We have to remember that.
Yeah. Well, they don't want you to remember that. And part of the problem is, though, that we're part of the problem. We allow these, you know, Saddam Hussein was no good person. He was not a good person.
No, he was not.
He was a tyrant and a dick. Right. And his sons were even worse. But that doesn't mean that we're not right when we demand, you know, our justice and our rights just because Saddam Hussein, and he was a guy that was propped up by the West too. You know, the U.S. gave him money and funding to fight Iran, as you pointed out, and they fought the war with Iran for 10 years until, you're right, he finally woke up and he said, you know what? One, they couldn't beat Iran because I think Iran is the most powerful country outside of Israel in that region. Hezbollah has stood up to Israel, And every time Israel has attacked Lebanon, Hezbollah has punched back. And when Hezbollah punches Israel, Israelis feel it. It's painful to
that's
them.
True. And that's the thing. They don't need any independent nation to raise up in that region.
Because they don't, right.
All what they want Israel to be the only player in that region. And that's why we see somebody like Netanyahu in front of the Congress saying, I'm your leader, you have to listen to me. It's very disgusting for me as an American
yes.
to hear that from a foreign prime minister in front of
yeah, it was like, you know that scene in the, whenever you see the joint session of Congress or even in the movies, before the president walks in, the sergeant at arms comes in and says, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, the President of the United States, Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. It was almost as if you could hear everybody acknowledging.
No, actually, a different terminology. Yeah, he said his honesty or something like, I forget what was, how we introduced him, but introduced him like the Emperor of the United States, not.
Yeah, it was like, it just made me feel like, how can we be so disrespectful to our own leader? But people here, they don't care. The Israelis have Americans in a headlock, and every time we try to do something, they beat us over the head so badly. Anybody that raises their voice.
You know why? Because they control the media. That's our problem. How many people are listening to your channel? How many people are...
I know.
They control the media. It's unfortunate they control every single aspect of the media.
Well, I wouldn't, here's my thought on that. They don't really control, but I will tell you this, they influence. They influence, and we don't. We don't, as Arabs. I don't get it. Why don't we, you know, we have a radio show, and not just because I'm on it, but why don't we come together as an Arab community and support our radio, our media, our newspapers? Instead, we go out and waste our money on the Sun Times. Every Arab buys the Sun Times. They hate us at the Sun Times, but we give them our money.
I agree with you, but usually those medias are, there's a lot of money is backing up these medias.
Yeah, but the Arabs are the wealthiest people in the world. That's the irony.
It's unfortunate that the Arabs, that they can support the media here in the United States, they are corrupted. They are not.
Yes.
They are not elected by the people.
They're
That's
dictators.
The they don't
right.
represent the people. Yeah.
You're right. They are. Listen, what was your first name again?
Musab.
Thank you so much, Musab, for calling. I really appreciate your opinions and joining the conversation. This is exactly what we want. We want our community to express themselves. It's not me telling anybody what we should or shouldn't believe, but, you know, having you call in, having a discussion, you know, we touch on points that maybe people out there, when they hear it, makes them think, and maybe we can come up with a way to kind of counter Netanyahu's influence in this country. Thank you.
The last point I wanted to say, Ray, it's unfortunate, you know, here in the States, that we tolerate each other, we tolerate other religions, and we tolerate other people from different background and cultures.
Yeah.
But when we go back to our countries, we start saying this is Shia, this is Sunni. We go, actually, this is considered backwards. That's what I don't understand. I hope everyone will be as tolerant as we are here in the United States. And we, as you said, we gather together, unite to be better people.
All right. Well, we'll see. Listen, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. All right, let's go to the next caller. You're on Talk of the Town Radio. Tell us your name.
Hi, Ray. This is Mohammed. How are you?
Hey, Mohammed. How are you?
A few weeks ago.
Thank you.
Good. How is the makluba and mansaf these days?
Oh, yeah, we're going to have the hummus bowl. Are you coming out to the hummus bowl at Orland Bowl? And,
I was invited to the wedding, but
March 20th.
I didn't go to the wedding.
Friday, March 20th, we got two lanes. We got two lanes.
Yeah, we have a friend of mine, and he's getting married, so, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm just joking, of course. There's the Makluba Bowl, which is a great fundraising effort by Rush Darwish.
But at least you're right. We should maybe buy the tickets or something.
We should support him. Believe me. It's $35 for adults, $20 for children. you know, yeah, Rush is a child, basically, so he's going to only pay 20 bucks. So, Naperville Bob, who you know, Naperville Bob was one of my listeners who used to call my radio show, and then Rush stole him from me. The Tundra.
Baba is our best guy, Baba.
Yeah, and you know what? It's really Papa, but Arabs don't have a P sound, so we call him Baba. Baba Ganoush, it's really Papa Ganoush.
Like the pop.
That's right. That's exactly it. The Tundra, we call him, because his forehead is so big. It's like a giant pot. I don't know if you ever seen Naperville Bob, but he's a good guy.
I like Bob. Even he's hiding that he's FBI, but I like
him. Yes, he's a Mukhabarat. We know that. But we have to infiltrate. That's why Rush through.
Sure.
Can you imagine Rush through the Mukhabarat into our laps like that? Poor Khalid is ducking
for
cover.
He's much better than the Mukhabarat in Egypt or.
Yeah, that's
other
true.
Countries.
He's not as bad. He won't. You know? He won't break our nails off. Like he won't pop our nails off like they do maybe in Amman or Cairo.
I mean, really.
Or Syria.
Because, I lived in I lived in Jordan.
Yes.
And I lived in the United States. It's nice to live in this country.
Yes,
really.
It is.
We take it for granted, but America has a lot of good things. Even,
yes, it even does.
Even some few bad things,
yes.
Like helping Mr. Netanyahu.
Yes.
Let's talk about this one just quickly. I don't
want
to take too much from your time. So, Mr. Netanyahu, this guy, I have no idea. You know what's the meaning of, I don't know what's in English called waqaha? I don't know what's in... Trying to find an English verb.
The space. The position.
Like insane for him to come and tell people about the killing and about tourism.
It's hypocritical. He's the worst.
He just killed. Forget about the people. Just the kids.
Yes, I agree. To me, that's
fascinating, and
it's so hypocritical.
Who is this guy?
You're right.
I mean, he thinks that the American people we're stupid.
Insolence.
You know?
Khalid.
Absolutely.
Khalid was educated among us. Thank you, Khalid. Hey, listen, Mohammed, thank you for calling. We're down at the last couple minutes, so I gotta let you go, but I appreciate
it. You're welcome. You have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thank you. And, Mohammed raised some you're welcome. Mohammed raised some great points about all this, and we appreciate it. Again, we're at the end of the show, and I want to thank everybody. I'm Ray Hanani. Listen, the Makhluba Bowl is a great event to raise funds, for a good cause. It's going to be at Orland Bowl at 8601 West 159th Street. There'll be two lanes for hummus and tabbouleh, but the rest of the lanes will be the Makhluba. That's if you like cauliflower. Listen, I don't want to get in trouble with Jordanians. I got too many Jordanian friends. I said one thing about the Jordanian Mukhabarat, and they got mad at me. That's them! Oh, no! That's them! It's either the Mossad or the Mukhabarat taking me off the air. I don't know. Anyway, before they get me, I got to run. I'm Ray Hanania. I want to say thanks to everybody. Make sure to go to my website at thearabdailynews.com. You can download the podcast. And don't forget to hear the replay of this show Monday at 11 o'clock. Khalid, thanks so much for running the board, and everybody here at yahalavoice.com. We'll see you next Friday. Bye-bye.
Yahala Voice, connecting the Arab voice globally.